Right, guys. What is up? What is up? What is up? We are back and better than ever. This is the Back Porch Sports Podcast with your man Fonz.
And Quan.
Hey man, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, brother. I can't call it.
It's Tuesday. So thank y'all for riding with us. Thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for viewing this show. And remember to hit that subscribe button if our content is pleasant for you. So let's go ahead and jump into the first topic. The first topic is actually an interesting one. The question was posed, is Brock Purdy the long-term answer for the 49ers? And I'll let you go ahead and bring that take.
So, again, the question is Brock Purdy the long-term answer for the 49ers? I believe he is. Brock Purdy is only a two-year quarterback that took his team to the Super Bowl. Some will say that he lost the bowl, but that was against the best quarterback head coach duo in the NFL currently. So I really can't fault him for that. This is also a two-year quarterback who is well-polished in some areas that most second-year quarterbacks are not, like good versus the blitz. Most of the time, defensive coordinators uses the blitz a lot versus young quarterbacks because most young quarterbacks have a hard time reading coverage and disguising the coverage. But not Purdy. He was good versus the blitz. According to Reddit.com, Brock Purdy versus the blitz this season threw over 1,500 yards, had it almost a first down on every pass attempt or per attempt, had 14 touchdowns, had a passer rating of 127.9, which was first, had a completion rating of 68.2. And that statistic is crazy, being that his O-line was ranked 28th in pass blocking. And Purdy was being pressured 13th most in the NFL. So with all that being said, I can definitely he can definitely be considered the long-term quarterback for them. Of course, there's room to grow for him, and there's things people want to see, of course. But honestly, they should keep him. He's been poised throughout to be able to win playoff games, even recover from some deficits in some cases. Even recovered from an injury the previous year, maintaining to play a full season and take a team like that Super Bowl. I believe when you do have a roster full of talent and you're the only one that really doesn't have a big name on the roster, it's a lot of pressure on him. And I think he definitely held down his portion for the most part. It wasn't always good. It wasn't always he hasn't always impressed a lot of people. But like I said, man, when you got C-Mac, Debo, George Kittle, you got, scary physical defense, the pressure's on you because, everybody else is pretty much already established in the NFL. He was also in the MVP conversation and was statistically number 5 in the NFL, statistically. So I definitely think this is probably the best quarterback that the 49ers has had success with since probably Alex Smith. So I'll let you take a take on that.
The short answer is maybe, because I like everything that you said about Purdy, but the thing that stuck out to me the most was having Debo, C-Mac, and Brandon Ayuk and them boys on the field at the same time. There were games when he did not have them on the field at the same time. He did not fare so well. Now, the Cleveland game, I'm going to blame that on defense because he put him in position to score. I like Brock Purdy. To me, he's a bigger upgrade than Jimmy Garoppolo. Regular season-wise, he did very well this regular season up until Christmas night. So that's what kind of knocked him out of the MVP conversation due to the fact of the type of game that he had on Christmas night. But the biggest thing that is very underrated about Brock Purdy is his usage of his legs. The dude actually low-key got wheels. In the Detroit game, the NFC Championship game, he had a play in the third quarter where he spun out of a sack and threw a dart to Kyle Juszczyk, a straight-up dart. So accuracy is not a problem. My biggest problem with the 49ers is their coach, Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sold on Kyle Shanahan no more. I was like the rest of everybody that, you know, deemed him a genius, offensive genius and everything. But if you go back and look at the tape of the Super Bowl 58, you're going to see something that's not Shanahan-like. Yeah, they ran the ball, but they didn't run the ball enough, in my opinion. So to answer that question, it's a maybe for me. With Brock Purdy, I got to see a little bit more. Yeah, you took it to the Super Bowl. I still got to see a little bit more. Can you do it again? Matter of fact, can you have that team in playoff contention again? And if the chips are down, saying you don't have a Debo, you don't have a C-Mac, you don't have neither, or you don't have one, can you maintain what you got to do? Because he's so young, I can't really give him the go-ahead just yet. You know what I'm saying? Just for that, right? I mean, the roster itself is probably the best roster in the league. The roster on paper is the best roster in the league. Is really no excuse. But at the same time, like Cam Newton said, sometimes you got to be a game manager. And game managing is not a bad thing. I don't know why the media makes it bad, but it's really not, because you got to manage what the defense gives you. And Brock Purdy has shown me a lot. He showed me a lot of positive, showed me a lot of negative, but I still need to see a little bit more. If I see a little bit more and he does well, then I'll say, yeah, pay that man. Be the first, last pick of the draft to be paid as an elite quarterback. But the biggest thing on him, the biggest thing on his resume, he just wins. He wins. Like, the reason why the Eagles were in the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 57 was because Brock Purdy got hurt. The 49ers proved that, because they went back there and beat them straight up. So the 49ers proved that. So I'm gonna give it a soft maybe. So I mean, let us know what y'all think. I could be wrong. He could be the next coming of Joe Montana for that franchise. So let us know. So
Joe Montana, that's extreme.
But some other, why we still on that subject real quickly. Regular season playoffs, Brock Purdy is 24-7. So, yeah, he does win. He only lost 7 games in his career, including this past Super Bowl. Now, let's talk about other quarterbacks in the Shanahan era. You got Jimmy Garoppolo. He's 39-18 with the 49ers in his career. And Trey Lance, who's a hard 4-4 in his career. That's not inspiring from Trey Lance. But Jimmy Garoppolo struggled with injury. Trey Lance couldn't get it done, so that's what opened the door for Brock Purdy. So he's replacing those guys. But the crazy thing about his regular season, I mean, not even his regular season, his career, he has a career passer rating of 111.4 with 5,654 yards, 44 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and 25 games for the 49ers in his career. If he could come close to his regular season that he had last year, I would say, yeah, that's what's up.
Right.
He's that guy. All right, so let's move on to the next topic. So everybody knows Micah Parsons. Shout out to that brother. He got a podcast. And the biggest thing that was trending was that he said, your guy, TJ Watt, is not a top pass rusher. Ouch. Mm. Now, the Brock Purdy research did not take long. TJ Watt took me at least an hour and a half. And because I had to go down the list. I had to start, and it's crazy. The internet is weird, because you could put in a specific thing that you're looking for, but you get something else that's related to what you're looking for. So in lists that date back to last year, we talking like last summer, TJ Watt was top six. It was not top three. Pro Football Focus, which I don't really dig Pro Football Focus because their stats are based on analytics. But at the same time, that's where the NFL is going now. It's an analytical league now. You know, they use analytics in the NFL is a fancy term for probability. Everybody did probability back in middle school, you know. But they got them in number five. And I'm just using two examples. They got them in number five. ESPN got them in number four. And ahead of him is Micah Parsons at one, Myles Garrett at two, Will Anderson Jr. at three, and then TJ Watt. And looking at the stats, the hard stats, that's what I'm going to go with in this discussion. And looking at the hard stats, bro got a point. I'm not saying he right, but he got a point. Why? Because, let's break it down. There's two games last year that lost him Defensive Player of the Year. That's the game versus the Cardinals and the following week, the game versus the Patriots. In that two-game stretch, he only is credited for a half a sack. Pass rushers get sacks. He's credited with half a sack in a two-game stretch. Versus the AFC. It's crazy. Versus the AFC in general, his conference. 83 solo tackles, 30 assisted tackles, 26 sacks, 3 fumble recoveries. That's just against the AFC in his career. Against the AFC North in his career, it's 45 sacks, 48 assisted tackles, 135 solo tackles, 4 fumble recoveries, 3 interceptions. That's just against the AFC North. What I read all that, and I got plenty more, but I read all that to say this. TJ Watt he's a grown man. That's a beast. I'm not gonna take that away from him. The dude led the league in sacks for like 4 years, including this year. I looked at the stats from last year as far as his sack totals, because that's what he's known for. He's known for sack. That's his job. Go get the quarterback. There's a few games where there's zero. There's a few games he didn't get no sacks. So, and then looking back at Micah Parsons has obviously been in the league a lot. You know, he ain't been in the league that long. Not longer than TJ. TJ been in the league since
17. Yeah, he been in the league three years.
He been in the league 3 years. But the biggest thing that goes against TJ Watt is a stupid stat. Because I was like, I didn't even want to. It's an analytics stat. I didn't want it. It's that pass rush win rate. So basically what that is that how many times is like the ratio of how the defender can get off the block and wind up in the backfield. That's the stat. They are using that as a stat now.
Mm.
That's crazy. But it makes sense. Because in order to get your sacks, you got to get off your block. Now, and he got underrated speed. I got to give the man his credit. I'm going to give the man his due. But in looking at the numbers and looking at every list that I possibly could look at that has pass rushers on it, I even found a list that got the top pass rushers from the year 2004 to now. And on that list, TJ Watt is number 7. But his brother's number one. But look who is in front of him though. JJ Watt, Julius Peppers, Aaron Donald. Wow. DeMarcus Ware, Terrell Suggs, Von Miller.
Some veterans, most of them.
Either veterans, get Hall of Famers, or out the league. And behind them is Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, Jared Allen, Khalil Mack. That's the list I actually like. I'm almost done. I got you though. I'm almost done. That list, even though everybody know the GOAT is Lawrence Taylor. Let's go and put it out that the GOAT is Lawrence Taylor. But that list make more sense, and it's crazy. All the stats that I looked up, it came down to that list, and I'm like, bro, that's tough. But you go ahead, help yourself.
I'm not even here to really argue that. I'm more upset that it came from Micah Parsons.
That's facts too.
I don't really. I mean, I'm not here to argue that Myles Garrett didn't deserve the Defensive Player of the Year over, because you look at Myles Garrett, and I know this is kind of a different page of what you was just discussing, but Myles Garrett was a first round overall pick in the first round, and he's been having double digit sacks since year two. He came out swinging. His first year, he had seven. That's I mean, I don't even think I can't name him right off now. I don't want to be wrong. But after that, he had 13 and a half, 10, 12, 16, 16, and 14. So I'm not really here. It's just your mama taught you, or your grandma taught you, to always respect your elders. 7, always. 16,
10, 12, 16, 16, 14. You about right.
Your mama always taught you to respect your elders. And I'm not so much mad that, I mean, you just did a proven statistic that he's not a top five pass rusher. But, I mean, I even feel good to even be number seven with all those names you just named. I'm good at number seven. But neither less to say, I want to send this message to Michael Parsons personally, and I wish I had a way to contact him.
Uh-oh.
But Michael Parsons.
Don't make me tag him. I'll tag him.
please do. Michael Parsons, since you've been in the NFL, TJ Watt has led twice. You've been in the league 3 years. He's led twice since you've been in.
I mean, he got 27.5 career sacks so far.
I'm sorry.
That's 27 and a half sacks versus the NFC.
Right.
And 13 against the AFC.
So I'm looking at Michael Parsons like, dude, what are you talking about? And the crazy comment, the other comment that he made was, if it didn't go to Myles Garrett, it should have went to me.
How? Okay, hold on. Can I jump in right quick?
So
he also that's also bull jive right there. And I want any Cowboy fan to comment under this here. It went to Myles Garrett simply because he was on the top defense in 2023. That's the only reason why he got it.
Exactly.
That's it. Like, I mean,
I'm not really arguing that TJ Watt is a top five pass rusher. I really can't, because there's been so many great pass rushers in this time of football. And you know,
he's an elite company by himself.
And I love TJ. Let me just put this out here. I love TJ. All right. Pittsburgh is nothing. Like they say in church, without God, I'm nothing. Without him, I'm like a ship without a sail. That's pretty much what. That's
drifting
pretty
much, like a ship without a sail.
I'm trying to tell you. That's pretty much what the Steelers is without number 90 on the field. All right.
That's facts. That's facts.
We're 1-10 without TJ Watt. All right. So some games he has a lot of sacks. Some games he doesn't. But with him being there is an impact. Now, does he impact the game like Myles Garrett does? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But I also think Myles Garrett has a way better secondary than TJ Watt has had.
Oh, for sure.
Probably for most of his career.
For sure.
So let's put that out there. So if your secondary is good, that's holding the coverage on the receivers, which gives you more time to get to the quarterback.
Ain't that what that's supposed to happen? But, secondary get right, that right. means the pass rushers can get home.
So
that's
so,
football. That's
I don't
football,
know,
bro.
But I like Myles Garrett. I respect Myles Garrett. But Michael Parsons had no business saying that TJ Watt ain't a top five.
That's tough.
When every time that the moment that Michael Parsons been in the league, who's been number one? And the only reason why he wasn't number one that 1 year is because he got hurt.
And he got hurt. And that time, let me go clear the air. That time y'all said he got snubbed by Aaron Donald. Let me go and break that ice right there. It's highly unusual for a defensive tackle, the nose guard, the middle man, to rack up as many sacks as he did. You got to give that man credit. Like that, you got to give him credit.
Right. I mean, and I do. I respect Aaron Donald. I respect all these guys. I just don't like the fact that Michael Parsons said anything. If Myles Garrett would have said it, I was like, well, he got a point because the man been balling since he got in the league. If Aaron Donald would have said it, the man been balling ever since he got in the league. Mm-hmm. Michael Parsons has yet to prove anything to anyone. Not to me, at least. I don't find him impressive. I'm pretty sure I can go on ESPN right now and find games where he ain't have a sack.
I can find it right now. Don't keep talking.
So I hate the fact that TJ Watt was just like that. Just because he was a runner up. Like, dude. The reason why TJ Watt was a runner up and Michael Parsons wasn't, because again, two out of the three games that Michael Parsons was in the season, he was number one.
The number six has significance, right? Because that was six games in 2023 that Michael Parsons did not register a sack, not even a half sack.
Exactly. So what are you saying? He's definitely a better pass rusher than you. Respect your elders. Respect your elders.
Jay-Z said, don't bring the knife to a gunfight.
And also, he may not be a top five. He may not be as good as all those players you just named.
Right.
But it's been a long time since the NFL. Even Myles Garrett did this. He got the highest amount of sacks he got was 16. That's his roof.
Yeah.
TJ Watt almost broke his 2021 record when he had 22 and a half.
Did he not tie with Michael Strahan?
Exactly.
So here's my thing about that.
That's unheard of.
Congratulations to Miles. I don't know how it evolved in it, but it makes sense. Congratulations to Myles Garrett, you defensive player of the year, because you manned a defense that was number one basically almost across the board, the total defense.
All across the board.
We give you that. We will give you that. So any Pittsburgh fan is still talking about it, y'all. Hey, that's what happened. But the names that I read off, DeMarcus Ware, come on, Hall of Famer. Terrell Suggs, getting ready to go.
T. Suggs. And I know he got sacks. It's all Big Ben.
I mean, the majority of his sacks came from Big Ben. Vaughn Miller.
Vaughn Miller.
Come on,
respect him until he went to Buffalo.
My thing is, honestly, they got Jared Allen and Khalil Mack at 10 and 11. To be real, I would put Jared Allen over Michael Parsons right now and Khalil Mack.
Exactly. That's the only thing I'm saying. He ain't got no room to talk.
While he made, like, and I love the fact that you went there. Like, he made a point. But like you said, sometimes you got to respect the gangster in other people, man. Look, you can't be a civilian talking about you a gangster now. I'm just saying that. You can't say that. You got to prove something. NFL stands for not for long. What have you done for me lately? I'm, look, bruh.
Trying to tell you.
I
don't know how that came from him. Especially to say, that one comment that blew my mind. If it didn't go to Miles, it should have went to me. But you've been under TJ since you got in the league. It wasn't Miles, it should have been TJ. Or Aaron Donald, or anybody else but a Parsons. Nobody cares about a Parsons. Let's be real, because I'm tired of Cowboys, and you just so happen to have that dong on star. You so happen to have that star on. Let's be real.
Let's be real.
You haven't played much competition.
I don't know about that. Wait a minute. Hold on, man. I know you're feeling some type of way.
What was their schedule rank this year?
Hold on, let me go and figure that part out.
The only
argument I got for Michael Parsons over TJ Watt, this is my only argument, is that he's seen the playoffs more than TJ Watt. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. He's saying the couch just as much as him, too.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that's puzzling. Now, you know me. He said he's seen the couch. I was trying to move past it, but I couldn't do it. That's messed up. But here's the puzzling thing. The puzzling thing is I compared Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, and Micah Parsons in the playoffs, right? All three of them got number one sack. In the playoffs. Ain't that what you known for, fellas?
And so, you know what, though? It sometimes
he can't. He's a, like The Rock says, he got to know his role to shut his mouth at the end of the day. I mean, that's tough. I mean, I'm not even, y'all know I ain't no Steeler fan. But when I saw it, I was going to, all right, I'm going to be transparent for 1 second. So what we do, we go over these topics. And I saw the topic that Quan picked out. And I was like, I don't know about that. But I was like, you know what? Let's roll with it because I got to see what he got to say. I know this is going to be fun. At the end of the day, he got two things going against him. First of all, TJ Watt did lead in sacks. Now, that injury and those two games cost TJ Watt Defensive Player of the Year. When he got hurt and couldn't finish the season, and then when... And I'm not trying to be that dude, but he only had to have a sack in two games against two catfish teams. You got to put that into perspective. But for him to say that and you didn't do anything, come on.
Gotcha. I got you. Let me go back to my last part when I say you didn't play any competition. All right?
Yeah, because I got sides right.
Cowboys, according to Power Rank Guru, mm-hmm. They had the third easiest schedule.
Stop this playing, year. Bro. Stop playing.
Stop I'm playing. I'm just reading what I searched up. All right.
That's only one example.
I don't even think I gotta go to any further.
You ain't gotta do nothing else, man.
I don't have to go any further. You have not played any competition, Micah. So if you're talented, and I give you're a good linebacker. I'll take you in the yellow and black. Not over TJ Watt, but I'll take you in the yellow and black.
I don't know in that system though, bro. I don't know. Hey, you ain't hey, look. My bad. Yeah, I ain't mean to talk junk about you. Hey, if you tired of your own all on the sideline,
no man, you can't be talking. You can't be talking
tough.
No junk.
That's
and just for the one that said, "Oh, Pittsburgh had the 14th, so it was a little bit tougher than." The Cowboys, or the Cowgirls, excuse me. The Whimpers. The them boys. Uh-oh, you know what I mean? Boys. Yeah, them boys. So
they got
you ain't got no room to talk, man. If anything, you need to take notes. You lead the league in sacks and then come back and tell me about it. How about that? That comment.
I could do it even better. Lead the league in sacks at least 4 times.
Like, come on,
and then
man.
You could come say something. I mean, at the end of the day, he's an NFL player. He trying to get those clicks. He trying to get that notoriety. He trying to make his show grow or whatever. So he going to say something controversial. I saw it a couple of days before we put it in the thing. And I was like, that Negro is crazy.
Yeah.
I said, that bat buddy, boy. Yeah, and I can't stand either one of them teams. And I'm like, bro, come on, man. Be respectful.
And dude brought up Alex Highsmith, all right, which was – pretty much either the backup to TJ Watt if he was hurt or the Batman and Robin relationship when he was on the field.
Right.
He said, I think Alex Highsmith had a higher pass rush and double team rate than TJ Watt. You know that's false. and to be real.
Oh, I TJ, you know what? I can keep talking. I got the set right
TJ
here.
TJ needs someone to step up on the other side because most of the time he is getting the dongle and attention. Now, what he said about the tight ends following Myles Garrett all across the line, I could go for that. Myles Garrett is a beast.
Yeah.
And he's coming. He's right there in the middle of the dongle field. TJ Watt on the edge over there. All right,
Miles Garrett can line up anywhere.
He's like another J.J. Watt, pretty much. Man. You know, so he said about that, I kind of agree to. But the only reason why Alex Highsmith will have success, he had a higher pass rush and double team rate than TJ.
Okay. I'm about to say the win rate. I'm about to say that's a lie because TJ Watt is fourth. In the pass rush win rate.
Beast. I don't understand how, like I said, again.
The only metric that Michael Parsons used was the fact that he came in first in the pass rush win rate. That's his only argument. I guarantee. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And again, that's the analytics talking. That's the analytics stat that ESPN came up with.
So, I can't believe that dude said
that. He talking out the side coming of his
from
neck.
A cowboy. Good gracious sake. A cowboy.
He talked out the side of his neck on that one.
Where was you at versus Green Bay? Did he have a sack during versus Green Bay?
Ooh, wait a minute.
I'm done with all Cowboys. I'm done with them. For the blood. Like, yeah. Like, where was you at when they needed you the most?
Ooh,
did he play? You know what I mean? T.J. Watt won us some games. T.J. Watt forced some fumbles. He done got intercepted. Hold on, that's not even. Let's talk about that for a minute. Uh-oh. Name a good pass rusher that can catch the ball. Drop down in the zone and intercept people. Now, Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt statistically was kind of similar because they both had four first fumbles. They, you know, T.J. Watt had a few more sacks to him, but he didn't have nothing in the interception column.
I mean, in career wise, they right behind each other. It's like T.J. Watt then it's Myles Garrett.
Like, I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, it's that blue star, man. That blue star make them boys bold, boy.
I can't believe that, boy. I was like, what?
Yeah, that was tough.
What?
I can't call it on that one. I was like, bro, why would you go say that? His only saving grace in total defense, Cowboys number five, and Pittsburgh was number six in total defense.
Again. Versus the Packers, he only had two total tackles.
Stop, one solo tackle. Man, you telling
sacks.
How my aunt used to say, "God bless the God rest his soul." She said, "Boy, you telling the tale."
One sack. I mean, no sacks. None. No sacks. No at sacks. The Packers.
At least T.J. Watt got a postseason sack. At least Myles Garrett got a postseason sack.
He played the Washington Commanders. That was the last sack he had week 18, and he had one. T.J. Watt would at least had two. Against Washington Commanders?
Oh, yeah.
You crazy. You crazy, dog. Like, be for real. Be for real.
Hey, man, you a true doggone Pittsburgh fan, boy. I tell you.
Like, man. It was just the source that it came from. That's what shook me up.
I would have respected it more if Bobby Boucher would have said that joke. Like, the water boy. If he would have said that,
I would have respected anybody else that said it, maybe, possibly, depending on who it was.
If it
was Myles Garrett, Aaron Donald, any of them. None of them have ever said anything like that. Most of these guys have the utmost respect for T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
He's the only clown that didn't open his mouth about the Watt.
Julius Peppers would have never.
Like,
JJ Watt would never.
Y'all please let us know in the comments.
Right. Hey, put it down there. Let us know. Like, do y'all think Michael Parsons was just talking out the side of his neck? Or do y'all think he had a point? Now, personally, I feel like he got a point, but it's not a point enough for you to go talk out the side of your neck like that. Because
especially not on nobody else's podcast.
If you think about it, and the big thing that stick out to me is postseason success, all of y'all on the same playing field. All of y'all numbers are similar. So you really can't say who's better than the other one because all of y'all got one sack. But let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
Let us know in the comments, man. But we're going to go ahead and call it, man. Thank y'all for subscribing. I seen we had some more subscribers since the last time we chatted with you guys, man. Appreciate y'all for supporting this channel. You know, we going into a new season. That's why y'all see some new things. We kind of, since there ain't no more football, we in the man cave. So that's why you see the man cave in the back. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, y'all just get ready. Get ready because 2024, we coming out strong. And, anybody, I forgot that 100th subscriber. Go ahead, tell somebody. Yeah. Once you subscribe, tell somebody, especially they love sports. They love to see two people up there talking. We ain't going to do that dog on Stephen A. Shannon Sharp stuff. We ain't got time for all that because half the time they talking outside their neck anyway. But we try to give it to y'all in the raw pause and, you know, just put our take on it.
Right.
So. Just tell somebody, you know, let them know that we out here. Okay, so the 100 subscribers is going to get a Cash App drop as a thank you from the both of us for riding with us. And, you know, here's to, I think, ain't today is the anniversary?
Well, we passed it, but yeah.
And we passed it. So we've been doing this exactly 3 years now. So we've been riding, we've been going, man.
Seems like it's more than that.
It seems like it's been four.
I think it's been four.
I'm going to call it four because I always count the planning stages in it. So I'm going to call it four.
Like it's been more.
Quick story, y'all. So we would, quarter now, we would just text it back and forth. He said he would do a podcast. I said, one of us said something about a podcast. I'm like, shoot, me too. Right. And then we went ahead and got it going. So it was one night. I want to say it was about 12 o'clock in the morning. I was living in Greenville at the time. I said, man, you know what? We need to talk about this. So I got up. I was in bed. I got up, drove to Washington. We sat in my car for like 3 hours planning this podcast, man, planning everything. And it is a beautiful thing that everything that we talked about is coming to fruition.
Right.
Like, you right. know, and that's a beautiful thing, man. But yo, like I said, thank y'all for riding with us, man. To the day ones, man, we appreciate y'all the most, man. And, man, you got anything you want to add, bro?
Not at all, bro. I think I done got everything off.
Yeah, you should feel calm now. This dude came with the smoke, boy. He gave me. Bro came with the smoke. And hey, look, I'm here for it. I just want to hurry up and get my stuff out the way. I want to see what you had to rap on.
Oh, man.
This dude came with a whole freestyle. Oh my goodness, it's good though. It's good to get it off your chest. I know you feel better now.
Yeah.
Ooh. But look, we're gonna go side off, man. This has been the Bad Sports Podcast with your man Fars.
And Con.
And we out, y'all.